This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Texas said, Rob, can we get a shout-out to the South Carolina Gamecocks for their win over Clemson this weekend in the Palmetto Bowl? Yes, you can. And there you go. Cock-a-doodle-doo for South Carolina and the dub this weekend in the Palmetto Bowl. 17-14. Is your final. Lenora Sellers leads a go-ahead touchdown drive, was dead to rights behind the offensive line, was able to somehow squirt free and take it the distance down the stretch. The last tutty of the game credited to Lenora Sellers on a 20-yard run with 1 minute and 8 seconds remaining on the clock. But this game was nothing if not entertaining down to the final seconds of the contest when, late in the fourth quarter, Cade Klubnik has an opportunity with 56 seconds left to play to make something happen in Gamecock red zone territory. The ball is tipped at the line of scrimmage. The ball is picked off by South Carolina, and Shane and the boys erupt on the sideline after the Demetrius Knight pick that sealed the victory for South Carolina. And we came into this game, and my whole breakdown last week was very simple. Whichever team is able to control the line of scrimmage from guard to guard is going to win this football game. Both quarterbacks put a lot of yards under the cleats. Cade Klubnik had 10 carries, 62 yards, and 2 rushing touchdowns. Lenora Sellers, a 166 and 2 rushing touchdowns. Raheem Sanders, 18 carries for 60 yards. Phil Maffa, 20 carries for 66. When it came down to it, it was the legs of Lenora Sellers, and it was controlling the line of scrimmage guard to guard that won this game for the Carolina Gamecocks. And I know Phil Maffa got banged up in this game. There was a point where they showed him, kneeling on the sideline, dealing with some sort of injury that obviously impacted him throughout the remainder of the contest. But it was Lenora Sellers and the Gamecocks' ability to hold the line of scrimmage and give him time in a pocket to recognize when he needed to pull it and run and get to the outside or not. This is impressive. Here's where I'm going to tell you I think that the game ultimately was a big problem. Play calling on the defensive side of the football. Wes Goodwin's defense knows what South Carolina's offense is. And if he didn't, that in and of itself is a reason to move on. But when you are watching South Carolina drive the football, and you know at that point, Lenora Sellers has already racked up 140 rushing yards of offense. How you not got a guy on that dude? How you not got a guy playing at the middle or the or strong side linebacker whose only job is don't let Lenoris Sellers beat us. If he's going to beat us, he's going to do it with his arm. And here we are late in the game, Gamecocks driving and threatening the go-ahead score. Lenoris gets to the outside. No one is at least apparently responsible for him. And he just dances in for a go-ahead tutty. How is no? He's got a buck 45 on you in that spot. How is nobody there for him? We'll ask John Blau that question from the Post and Courier. Covers the Clemson Tigers. We'll break this game down as well as Clemson's trip this Saturday to the ACC title game. The only way they're getting into the playoffs is to knock off SMU. We'll talk about that with John Blau next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Seventeen-14 is your final score as the South Carolina Gamecocks head into Clemson and take away a win in the Palmetto Bowl. However, still not a tragic day for the Clemson Tigers, as in the exact same day, they have their ticket punched for them by Fran Brown and the Syracuse Orange. With a win over Miami, Clemson replaces the Hurricanes in the ACC title game, meaning that a win over SMU would indeed still send the Clemson Tigers into the playoffs and potentially, let me capitalize, underline, bold, and italicize that, potentially, depending on some other results, send them into the playoffs with a first round bye. To discuss all of that and more, joining us now on the show as he does every Monday at 8:40 a.m., the legendary John Blau, who covers the Clemson Tiger Athletic Department for the Post and Courier, joins us on the show. John, my man, happy belated Thanksgiving. I know it didn't go the way that the Tiger fans wanted it to on Saturday, but I'm glad you're here, and we appreciate it as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rob.
Anytime. Let's dive in. Let's spend about half the time on the rivalry L and about half the time on the upcoming ACC title game, which now has more weight on it than probably any Clemson game since I have moved here almost 5 years ago, John Blau. Let's start with this, and we'll dive into some of these specifics, but 30,000-foot view, what went wrong?
Lenoris Sellers went wrong. Just a great game. By the South Carolina quarterback, 166 yards. Obviously, that last touchdown on a 3rd and 16, he goes 20 yards. Just a guy who makes some great plays and made more great plays than Clemson did. And then, obviously, you know, Kate Klubnik able to drive down the field. I was impressed by the offensive line of Clemson, but being able to really limit that South Carolina pass rush. Did way better than I thought they would. You know, able to get a drive down the field at the end of the game. Just throws one bad pass behind Phil Mafa, it's intercepted, game's over. So it was a really good football game. Just South Carolina had more good plays. South Carolina, and then Clemson had too many, you know, missed opportunities, and obviously that last series didn't go their way with the interception. So good football game. South Carolina just made more plays, in particular Lenoris Sellers.
My thought coming into that game, John Blau, was that the team that, A, manages the offensive line from guard to guard, the middle, keeps a clean pocket, allows the quarterback, either one of them, Sellers or Klubnik, the opportunity to sit in a clean pocket, and make the decision to run as opposed to be forced into it, was going to ultimately win that game. There were question marks, and I'm glad you brought up the offensive line, about Clemson, who really only had a few games where there was an identical starting five from one game to the next. I really do think Clemson held up well across the offensive line. Just unfortunately, defensive line was unable to keep Lenoris Sellers wrangled up. I mean, this game to me, I think anything above and beyond that, and we can talk about, you know, the defensive scheming for Lenoris Sellers and all that, that I agree with you. It just felt to me like Clemson lost the battle at the offensive line more than they won it on both sides of the football.
Yeah, again, for Clemson's offensive line, I feel like they did more than enough. Kate Klubnik was not all that stressed. I mean, there were a couple of times where he tries to run or, you know, he gets sacked. You know, obviously there were situations there. But, yeah, I mean, it's just hard on a defensive line and defense in general to contain a guy like Lenora Sellers. I mean, just able to, you know, just find the lane, run you over, pull guys, you know, get out of tackles. Clemson had three sacks. They easily could have had six or seven or eight against a guy who is not as big and strong and athletic as Lenora Sellers. And so it was just an extraordinary performance by him. And yeah, you can go into defensive scheme, what they could have did differently. I know everybody looks at Sammy Brown earlier in the game, had six tackles in the first quarter, then played very little in the fourth, and people questioning that. But obviously then you get into some bad matchups against, you know, a linebacker versus a receiver in coverage and things like that. I don't know exactly what they could have done other than maybe a QB spy of some sort. I don't know if that was being employed. I couldn't tell because obviously the North Star was just running around to everyone. But yeah, I think that defensively they were not able to wrangle him. A lot of teams haven't, and it really cost them because, yeah, they didn't get enough offensively. And again, that last series kind of falls just short with the interception.
It felt to me like Clemson played a game. And I mean, obviously, I don't care where you play, who you play, what you play, what the score is. There's always going to be a thing or two or three that can be cleaned up. But it felt to me like Clemson played a game, John Blau, that wins then the game more often than not. There just aren't a lot of Lenora Sellers out there that can do the things, not just run, John, but like you pointed out, run through tackles, run around tackles, run over tackles. This kid made life hell for the Clemson Tiger defense. Is there anything you would have seen? Like I, you brought up quarterback spy. To me, especially on that touchdown run from 20 yards out, it almost felt inexcusable that there wasn't a guy obligated, or that if there was a guy obligated, he was out of position, they got caught. It almost felt inexcusable that for a guy who has put up 145 rushing yards on you at that point, that guy isn't the priority. Make him beat you with the arm. It just kind of felt like that got away from Clemson in the most important minute and a half of that football game.
Yeah, I mean, I'd go back and watch that play a couple more times to really see, like you said, was there a spy there? Did he just kind of lose him? It looked like I saw Wade Woodaz was kind of sort of in position and didn't quite get to him. But like you said, I just think Clemson played a pretty decent game. I don't think they played that bad. Lenora Sellers was the difference. Without Lenora Sellers, and obviously you can do this with any member of both teams, so it's not really obviously a great point, but without Lenora Sellers, I mean, obviously South Carolina doesn't win that game. Clemson does. And so it's just, yeah, you can go back and try to nitpick, second guess a million different things, but that guy just made a ton of plays. And Clemson had their opportunities. I mean, there was that fourth and one early in the game where they don't kick a field goal. They go for it with the jumbo package. They get stuffed. You know, obviously there were a couple of turnovers that Clemson forced. They forced three turnovers and did not get any points off of any of those turnovers. You know, that's kind of rare. You don't see that a lot. So just a lot of things just didn't quite go right. And then again, that pass behind Phil Moffitt, just throw it out of bounds, get a field goal, tie the game, go to overtime. So yeah, just a lot of little things. I think Dabo Swinney said, you know, he thought that they kind of lost the game more than, obviously South Carolina won it, but it's just, you know, things happen, and Lenora Sellers was a big thing in that game.
Yeah, I'd say so. 160-plus yards on the ground, two rushing touchdowns. I mean, again, you kept the South Carolina passing offense from really popping off. Sellers 13 of 21, 164, and one interception compared to Kate Klubnik's 24 of 36 for 280, no touchdowns and one interception. And Klubnik didn't have a bad day pulling the ball and running either. 10 carries, 62 yards, including an 18-yard touchdown, one of two that he punched into the end zone. John Blau, as we kind of transition into the ACC title game against SMU, because this team is still very much alive for a playoff bid, was what you saw out of Clemson Saturday, in your opinion, good enough to end up as ACC champions and earn a bid this weekend?
Oh, yeah, I think it's possible. I think what the offensive line was able to do in terms of protecting Kate Klubnik, To see Tristan Lee and Marcus Tate after, you know, a couple games on the pine just come off and you know, really neutralize an edge rushing duo like Kennard and Stewart, obviously Blake Miller as well on that other edge. That was really, really encouraging to see them kind of, you know, get back to 100% that quick. So that's obviously big for them. Phil Maffa obviously has to be more productive. I think he was like 3.5 yards per carry, something like that against South Carolina. That isn't quite where you want it to be. I don't know if you know Phil Maffa is getting tired towards the end of this season, if you need to get Jay Haynes more incorporated. I've seen a lot of people talking about that. But, you know, to be able to, again, protect Klubnik, get some shots down the field with Moore and Wesco coming up with contested catches, Antonio Williams. I've saw enough from the offense. It's kind of strange to say after scoring just 14 points. I saw enough to think that they can score points against SMU, because I don't think that's quite the same level of defense that South Carolina is. And defensively, yeah, I mean, it's just I think Kevin Jennings is a very good quarterback. I think he's a dual threat as well that can hurt you with his legs, but I don't think he's Lenore Sellers. I don't think he's going to run for 166 yards. I don't think he's going to make some of those plays Lenore Sellers did. The defense, for the most part, had a pretty good game. So I think what we saw against South Carolina should make you feel pretty good about Clemson's chances of beating SMU. Obviously, different challenge, different weeks, different things can happen. But I think they got a good shot from what I saw this past weekend.
We saw John Blau at one point during the game. Maffa took a big shot. He ended up on the sideline and looked a little rattled, was down on a knee. Kind of looked like, I don't know if he was stretching something out or was just trying to get his bearings about him. But do we have any update? Was there any status check on Phil Maffa after the game as far as any lingering injuries that could hamper him this weekend in an ACC title game?
Yeah, I mean, that was actually interesting. I don't think anybody asked. I think everybody was just so fixated on everything else that had happened during that game. Obviously, the last drive and, you know, what Lenore Sellers did and all that. So I know there was a question about R.J. Mickens because he came out and never came back in. And Dabo Sweeney didn't really give an update on him either. But, yeah, we haven't asked about Phil Maffa. We're going to have to ask, yeah, this week in terms of what his status is, how healthy he is. Again, I don't know if it was just that shot, if he's, again, he's had a ton of carries this year. Maybe there's kind of a cumulative effect there, but I'm sure somebody will ask this week, and we'll figure that out.
The pressure on this football team in this ACC title game, Syracuse delivers the upset to Miami and punches the ticket for Clemson to head to the ACC title game. The pressure is on this team. I think that to some degree, John Blau, you may or may not agree with this. I'd be happy to hear your thoughts. If not, the pressure is on Dabo Sweeney, because you got to think some of it is relieved if this team ends up in the playoffs, even as a three-loss football team. What impact, if any, do you think it has on this team, knowing that this ACC title game is, hey, win and you're in the playoffs, and lose, you're headed down to South Florida for the Meineke Car Care Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, it's they've been dealing with that pressure, though, for most of the season. I mean, you lose that opener against Georgia, and you know you have to be basically flawless the rest of the way in a weak ACC to have a chance to get in the playoff. You lose that game to Louisville, you know fate's out of your hands. But you have to keep winning to have any chance. And then obviously the South Carolina game, you lose, but you get kind of a second life. So it feels, I don't know if there's as much pressure as this is kind of, again, like a second chance, a mulligan. You know, you thought you were dead, you're not. And so, you know, playing with house money to a degree, obviously fans are going to be upset if they lose. I mean, if they follow South Carolina with another loss in the ACC title game, there's going to be a lot of upset. But if they are able to get back to the playoff, I mean, after missing it three straight years, to actually be in the field and have a chance, I think that will, you know, make a lot of people feel better about where things are. Obviously, a very tumultuous year in terms of losing that Georgia game, Louisville game, South Carolina game. Every, you know, ranked or seems like upper tier opponent you played, you didn't win. The recruiting cycle, losing seven guys. Lots of decommitments, all that's going on with NIL, rep share. There's a lot of reasons to be a little anxious, but I think this is kind of, again, a second opportunity. If you take advantage of it, it's going to make a lot of people happier. If you lose, obviously it's going to make a few more people upset, but it just kind of is what it is. And We'll see if they're able to take advantage.
John Blau, 30-second answer, and I know I'm putting you on the gun here, but we're right up against it. Clemson wins the ACC and punches a ticket to the playoff if blank.
Again, if they don't turn the ball over, if they're able to get some shots down the field with Wesco Moore and Williams again, and obviously an SMU that can score points, so can you score points with them? And then contain a guy like Kevin Jennings and not let Orr Sellers you can get into the playoff and see what happens from there.
John Blau covers the Clemson Tiger Athletic Department for the Post and Courier. When we talk to him next week, the Clemson Tiger football program will either be in the playoffs or headed to a lesser bowl game, and we will also start transitioning over to the basketball team as well. John, my man, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, brother. Thank you for your time as always, big dog.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. John Blau from the Post and Courier joins us every single Monday at 8:40 to talk Clemson ball. We appreciate his time. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, let's talk some NFL, shall we? We spent a lot of time talking college football. Let's get into the association. Let's get into the National Football League. That is after the Josh Allen of Sports Flashes. Lonzo, read you this.
Dude. Not even right. The Buffalo Bills became the first divisional winners in the NFL last night, clinching the AFC East with a 35-10 win over San Francisco. Josh Allen threw for two touchdowns, ran for one, and caught one in the beautiful, snowy New York weather. Buffalo improves to 10-2 with the win. James Harden has joined Steph Curry as an elite NBA club, becoming the only two players in NFL history to make 3,000 career three-pointers. Harden hit the milestone in the first half of the Clippers' 126-122 win over the Nuggets. Harden led the Clippers with 39 points in a week in which he also recorded his 100th game of 40 points or more. Tune in this Wednesday at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Florida Gulf Coast Eagles. It's Florida, versus Furman right here. On your home for Furman Paladins basketball, the Fan Upstate.